Today, what I want to talk to you about is the Christian's guide in dealing with difficult people. Dealing with difficult people. You know, everyone deals with difficult people at some point in their life. And as soon as I even said the title, some of you is like, boom, there she is. Boom, there he is. They just popped right into your head. You know, difficult people are evenly distributed throughout all of society, and they are there for our personal pleasure and enjoyment. You know, to be quite frank, difficult people stink. I mean, they just are a challenge, if we're honest. You know, I want to share an illustration of the dreaded coworker. This was me several years ago. I was in my early 20s, and I worked at a factory in Delco, or Rochester, or Valio. And I don't remember what the details were, but there was this huge guy, and he just was punking on me. And he was so big, and I was so afraid that I let him for a little while punk on me. But then after a while, and he was a jerk, you know, most of the time. That's just, he was just one of those kinds of people, difficult people. And he was known for this. But after a while, my anger became stronger than my fear. And I was so happy when that kicked in. And right during work, I stopped and I walked right to him. I walked right into his personal space and I got into his face. And no lie, I said, "Don't you ever do that again." You know, he's a big guy. And he looked at me like, "What are you going to do?" And when he said that, and this happened so fast, I thought, "Nothing, but don't you ever do that again." And I honestly told him that. And to my surprise, we ended up becoming friends. And I saw him not too long ago at the nursing home where my mom is. And he was like, "Hey, Crespo, how you doing?" But there are a lot of difficult people in the world, and sometimes things don't work out in a positive way. I was reading several articles, and one came up with this title: "There are four different types of difficult people. Think about the person in your life and figure out which category they're in." The first, now just because I'm reading this doesn't mean that I'm, you know, given to it completely. I'm just sharing some information that's out there. We'll get into the scriptures in just a minute and look at what God thinks about this very topic. So the first of the four is the downers. Any of you know any downers? They're also known as the negative Nancy. Sorry if there's a Nancy. Sorry if there's a Debbie Downer. That's what they're known as. They're always, or they always have something bad to say. They complain, they critique, and they judge. And they're almost impossible to please. Now, before you start squeezing somebody's hand, let's stay focused here. If they're outside of here, okay. But in here, this is the safe zone. So there's the downers, and then there's the better thans. Everybody has met a better than. You know, this is the know-it-all, the one-upper, or the show-off. They like to try to impress people and name-drop, and they're always comparing what you're telling them or your story to their way better story. You just want to poke them in the eyes, you know. And then there's the passives. They're also known as the pushovers, the yes men, or the weaklings. They don't contribute much to conversation or people around them. And they're just gifted at letting others do everything because they're just so passive. And then there's the tanks. I think I've met more tanks in my life. These are those that tend to be explosive. Maybe it's because I'm Puerto Rican and I grew up in a certain environment, but they're known as the explosives, the handfuls, the bosses, or they're bossy. They want their way, and they will do anything to get it, even if it means killing you. Well, maybe I added that part, but the article goes on and it says, don't try to change them. Just put arsenic in their food. No, it doesn't say that. Try understanding them. I think that's bad advice. And one thing is, don't let them be toxic. That's something we can control. Well, anyway, that's what the world says. As Christians, though, we live by a different set of guidelines. And we shouldn't be too quick to label someone as a difficult person unless they really are. And there are some difficult people. There really are. But before we get into the difficult people, you know, we do live by a different set of guidelines as Christians. And I make fun of it because not so much that we live by a different set of guidelines, but I make fun of the difficult people because we can all relate, right? But it really does stink when you're going through it with someone. And let me add this. You know, there are people in our life that I wouldn't consider them to be difficult people. But sometimes we go through difficult things with people that are close to us. And it's tough. You go through some challenging seasons. But I wouldn't label them as difficult people. You know, sometimes it's just growing pains in a relationship, and marriages go through difficult seasons. And the Bible's clear, for example, if you're married and you're having a challenging time, the Bible's clear as Christians, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands, respect your husbands. You know, those fundamentals, those basic things that sometimes we take our significant others for granted and we don't treat them the way we should. And then it starts resulting in just the way people can communicate to each other as married couples. But if we get back to the fundamentals, things go fine when we respect and when we love. There are other relationships, maybe it's a family member, that they're not generally difficult people, but you might be going through a difficult season with them. And so we don't want to label everybody quickly as difficult people. And there are things that we should be considering. Not everyone, as I said, is a difficult person, but you know, the scriptures tell us this. I'm reading out of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. And I think that it's good for us to do our part as much as we can before we identify and recognize a difficult person. And again, they're there. They're out there. And I'm going to share with you four that the Bible points out. But before we do, it's good to do all that we can on our part to keep peace. Now, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, we read, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Another translation puts it this way, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. And, you know, I would say that more than less, it's just better to overlook things, to not be the kind of person that you get offended and easily angered by everything people say. Otherwise, let's just go home and lock ourselves into eternal quarantine. You know, you have to run from everyone or just be miserable all the time. And so I think it's good what the scriptures tell us to learn how to manage our own feelings and emotions when we're around certain people, especially that might be trigger people. They might trigger us. And it's best to just overlook a lot of things. But there is a time, and we'll talk about it, when it's time to set some boundaries. It's time to refrain from relationships. But for now, we're looking at a different set of guidelines than the world may and would preach. If you turn now to Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 14. I'm quoting what Paul is saying, and there's no doubt that Paul is quoting what Jesus is saying. And Jesus, the things that he said, or these are Old Testament things that Paul was quoting that Jesus also touched on when he shared in the Beatitudes. And so you could read in the Beatitudes where the Lord tells us how to treat enemies, etc. But here in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul says, "Bless those who persecute you." No, it's important to understand that when he's using the term persecute, that is because you are living out your faith in Christ. And so you're not blessing those who are just nasty for no reason. These folks, they are nasty and they persecute you because you are living godly in Christ Jesus. And unfortunately, it comes with the territory. When we live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. And so when you're doing what's right in God's eyes and you are sharing the love of Christ and living out your faith and you get persecuted, here he says, bless. And what does that mean? Well, that means to speak well of. Don't say anything evil about them. And that's not always easy to do. And sometimes you have to warn people. We'll see where Paul warned Timothy about some people, because some people are real, or they're dangerous. But generally speaking, and this is what we're talking about, the general guidelines. Generally speaking, you speak well of them or you pray for them. He says, bless and do not curse. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, share in other people's highs and lows. And when you do, you might find that you have less difficult people in your life because they see you as a caring, not a Karen. You don't want to be a Karen. And if your name is Karen, forgive me. And if you don't know what I mean by that, Google it after church. Anyway, but they know that you're caring. And when they know that you're caring, they'll be more apt to respond in a way that is better than if you, as a Christian, can't sympathize with other people. He says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And then this is really the verse that I wanted to get to. He says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So these are the guidelines. These are the Christian guidelines for how to deal with people in general. And sometimes when we're dealing with people, there are difficult people. And generally speaking, the guidelines for us is as much as possible, as much as I can on my part, I'm to live peaceably or at peace with everybody. That's a tall order, huh? And easier said than done. But it is an order. It is a guideline that God has given us. And so sometimes these different folks that we come encounter with, you know, we have to deal with them in ways that actually help us to grow. And before I start to share the four different difficult people that you will come encounter with that you really should consider, I think it's good to ask this question. It's like a final question to ask yourself before you label or conclude that a person is a difficult person. This is the question to ask yourself. And this is a tough question. It really is. but is God using this person to develop me? That's a great question to ask. Is God using this person to develop me? Because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, anyone that God brings into your life that he's using for your development, you do not want to exit out of that experience. Because when you exit out of things that God is teaching, when he's trying to develop you, God is not one that says, oh, that's too tough for you. I think you're ready, but that's too tough for you. Okay, let's move on to something else. You know, God, there's a teach test principle. And when he's trying to teach you something about your character or something that he wants to change in you, sometimes he brings a person in your life and they're there by divine design to help you grow. And it causes you, that person somehow, and God working, and when you're walking in the Spirit, you can assess and see this experience and think, wow, God, you're using this person to bring out some things in me that you want to change. You know, I'll never forget several years ago, I won't use their real names, but I'll call them Bart and Bertha. Bart and Bertha. I figure I use some names already that have touched people, so these names, I don't know any Bart and I don't know any Bertha. Is there a Bart here? Okay, good. And if you're watching online, hey, Bart, sorry. And Bertha, you know, again. Well, several years ago, I was volunteering at a church. And there was a couple that, boy, they were just difficult. They were older than me by several years. They had a child. They had more than one child, but one child was my age. And so they were serving in the same ministry that I was facilitating. Now, I had come into a church with an already existing ministry, and I came and took over that ministry. So I was kind of like the outsider coming in. Well, these folks, they were, in my opinion, at the time, I was very young. And you know how I'd like to say we who are young, but I don't think I fit in that category anymore. But when we are young, you know how for the most part, none of us are organized when we're young. We just fly by the seat of our pants. And it doesn't happen until we're older where we start learning the value of organization. Well, that was me, very unorganized, a musician. So I don't know if you know much about musicians, but a lot of musicians just play by feel, no structure whatsoever, get lost in their music, and just are like, you know, walking on clouds all the time. Now, I've grown a little bit, so I'm not still like in La La Land, but back then I was, and they had the gift of pointing out all of my inconsistencies and all of my, you know, every time I forgot something, and then it was, did you remember this? We would do outreaches. And can I be honest with you? That Christian couple drove me nuts. They did. And I used to pray that they would get, you know, sick or something. I know that's terrible, but I know you've done it too. You've prayed evil prayers, and then you think, God, forgive me. You know, like those prayers in the Psalms, break their teeth and their mouth, oh God, you know. Anyway, maybe you've never done that, but I used to wish that they would step down. I would pray for the day for them to leave. Oh, man. And then God started to show me that he was using them to bring structure in my life, to help me to learn how to function and work with other people. I had come from a smaller church where I was pretty much the main person. This church was quite a bit bigger, and I had to facilitate several people. And so the Lord started to show me that Bart and Bertha were there to help me to grow up and to learn how to develop some administrative skills and some people skills and learn how to be patient and learn how to manage without offending people and learn how to consider other people, that the world just doesn't revolve around me. And that everyone's not there just to serve me and whatever my agenda is for the ministry. You know, so after that revelation came, I learned to love those people. And we got along very good. And we served the Lord for many, many years. And I was so thankful because I saw them in a whole different light. A whole different light. And maybe there are some difficult people or one difficult person that really is not an enemy, but is in your life. God has placed them there because he wants to use them to develop you. And this is like a final thing that you have to pray before you label somebody. God, is this, help me, show me, open my eyes. Is this someone, before I, you know, write them off, is this someone you want to use in my life to change me, to help me to grow in your likeness? And if so, then let me embrace this experience. Doesn't mean that you have to be buddy buddies, but it does mean that you have to have the right heart towards the individual. For me, that happened in church. In church, which, you know, it's not good for a worship minister to have aught against his brother or sister, is it? You don't sound convincing. You know, a biblical story, and I don't want to get too long into it, but is, remember Jacob and Laban? Do you remember the story of Jacob and Laban found in the book of Genesis? If you remember Jacob was a little bit of a conniver. He didn't have a problem taking advantage of family members like he did to his dad and he did to his older brother. And Jacob, some years later, found himself living with his uncle. You could read the details in the book of Genesis. But Jacob ended up meeting his match with his uncle Laban. And Laban, he had not did so good to Jacob. Jacob, if you remember, at that time it was permissible. And at that time, he had fallen in love with Laban's daughter, which was his cousin. Now, that's disgusting. But anyway, so he ended up falling in love and working 7 years in order to marry her. And he worked, and it said that those 7 years went by like days. You know how it is when you love somebody, that young puppy love that only lasts about 18 months. And then real love kicks in when you're committed. That's real love. Real love is commitment. That puppy young love, that's all emotions. You know, that's the same person that it's the love-hate relationship. You have that, I love you so much, I'd die without you. And the next day, I hate you. I wish. Okay, I'm getting too crazy, too excited. Anyway, they were in that young love, so 7 years went by so fast. It was like nothing. And to his surprise, on that night of the wedding, Laban switched with the older daughter, Leah, who I guess wasn't as attractive. She probably looked a little like this because something was wrong with her eyes. I don't know if she was cross-eyed. I don't know. But imagine waking up to somebody that's not who you thought it was, and she's looking at you all cross-eyed, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't work for this. Oh, so Jacob, he met his match with Laban. And it's funny because sometimes God will even put you around people that are just like you to help you see things about you that you would never see unless you're around that person. So there's all different reasons, and you got to seek the Lord. Lord, have you put this person in my life because you want to develop me? I think that's very mature as a Christian. But the Bible does identify difficult people, and we should know who they are and how to deal with them. So if you're a note taker, I want to give you four difficult people to write down, and then you can study this on your own, and maybe the Lord will give you even more insight. But I named them all with the letter C. They start with the letter C. Doesn't mean that they all have the same sound, but it just helps us to remember. So the first of the four is the charlatan. The charlatan. Then the second is the cruel. The cruel. Then the third is the chaotic. The chaotic. And then the fourth is the concerned. The concerned. So let's pray, and then we'll get into these four different types of people that you got to know who they are and how to deal with them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your blessings over the teaching of your word. And I know that there are some folks that are going through this very thing, and they're trying to discern and determine what to do with that person in their life that's been so difficult. And Lord, I pray that you would just help them to be able to identify if there's someone that you're using or there's someone that they have to deal with them in a different way. And so we give you glory and honor, and we ask for your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the charlatan. The charlatan, also known as the hypocrite. You know, there are some folks that are religious or in the religious community, but they really don't know Jesus. And it's good to be aware of this. You know, one of the most difficult people that Jesus had to deal with, he had to deal with scribes and Pharisees. They were the ones that really seemed to get Jesus. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So we know Jesus never sinned. And you can be angry and not sin. We saw Jesus display anger and frustration when he was at the temple and he drove a whole group of people out. But we also see him display some very strong feelings against charlatans, hypocrites, these scribes and Pharisees. Let's look at one story. There's so many encounters that he had. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 15, right in verse 1. We'll begin there. But here in Matthew chapter 15, it tells us that the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, so these were the big dogs, they came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? So they come and they start accusing Christ. And, you know, they're putting the emphasis on his disciples. Why are your disciples? These folks are under your tutelage, and look what they're doing. You're responsible for this. He says, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Now, my intent is not to get into that story, but just for the sake of simplicity, you know, obviously Jesus is right. These folks, they come up with their own commandments and they would nullify or make void the true commandments of God, and they would come up with their own laws and reject God's laws. Well, that certainly upset Jesus because they were being disobedient to God and misleading other people. And here these folks were projecting on Jesus. And that just always upsets me when people who are guilty project on other people. And that's what these folks, they were doing. So Jesus, you know, he just says to them, hey guys, I love you. You're a bunch of nice guys. I know you're trying to do the right thing. Yeah. Keep it up. No, he doesn't say that to them. He just comes straight out and says, hypocrite. He actually just called them to the carpet and confronted them. And sometimes that's what you got to do with some difficult people. I would encourage you pray before you do it. But sometimes you do. You have to just say, I'm not going to do anything, but don't you ever do that again. He never did it again. Never. And sometimes that's how you got to handle these different folks that they try to project their garbage on you. They're the ones that are in the wrong. They're unhealthy, and the people that they're around are unhealthy. And sometimes you just got to put them in their place. Try it. After church, go right up to them and say, hypocrite. If you come up to me and say that, I'm going to be very angry with you. Don't try. I'm only kidding. You could say it to me all day long. But I want to take that back. Don't leave here and do it Jesus' style. Because Jesus had certain abilities that we don't have. Right. So you got to be careful. And I don't want to misguide you. But in all seriousness. But he did tell him, hey, hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And there are people that are just like that, and it's unfortunate because maybe they're not in our church, but they profess to know God. But they really don't know him. And we have to be wise as the serpent, gentle as a lamb. We have to know who we're dealing with and not let these charlatans take advantage of us. Now, it's interesting what Jesus says. He says, their hearts are far from me, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And this is what I'm getting at when I say it's interesting what Jesus said. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Hey, Lord, did you know you offended them? And he tells them, he doesn't say, well, let's pray for them. Come on, let's all hold hands and let's pray for those charlatans, those hypocrites. That's not what he said. He identifies them for who they really are. And he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. In other words, brothers, Jesus talking to his disciples, those folks are not planted by my Father. These folks are hypocrites. Watch out for these folks. Actually, what he tells them is this. He says, let them alone. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead or leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. You know, Matthew chapter 23, if you go ahead and study it, you don't have to do that now, but later, you'll find, because he addresses the hypocrites and he hammers them with so many different woes to you, hypocrite. Woe to you, hypocrite. Woe to you, hypocrite. But these are certain characteristics that you could deduce from chapter 23. I'm not going to have you turn there. But these kinds of folks, they love to give you direction, but they don't follow their own advice. They don't have a problem putting heavies on you. They're just gifted at putting burdens on you. Whenever you're around them, you leave there feeling so weighted by them. Another thing that they do is they love to be the center of attention. It's like everything has to revolve around them. If they're not the center of attention, then they're causing drama. They love the best for themselves. Whenever you're around them, you'll pick up after a while, man, they always have to have the best. Forget me. Forget my sacrifices. As long as they make out, in the end. They really don't care about me. They love the recognition of others. These are all things right from Matthew chapter 23. And they love to be over you. It gives them a sense of satisfaction, like that they're more important than you are. And they work at making you feel small or dumb or you don't know or you're insignificant. And they also love to be known as spiritual. They love when people come and ask them for their advice. They love to be known as spiritual. So Jesus says, ignore them. Basically, that's what let them alone means. These are the kinds of people, these charlatans, the best thing to do with them is just ignore them. Just ignore them. You know, the charlatans are so wrapped up in their own little world that they've created themselves. And if you mess up their little world, they'll turn on you. And if you don't get in step with their world, they'll make sure you feel that. But if you ignore them, chances are you'll be all right. It's better some relationships, some difficult people, you just gotta ignore them, leave them alone, just exit, and you'll be fine. The other is the cruel. And there are some people that are just downright cruel, and I would say these are difficult people. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he said this to Timothy. So here's an evangelist, an apostle, one who was called by Jesus Christ, who mentored Timothy and gave Timothy the opportunity to be a pastor and served with Timothy and encouraged Timothy. Timothy was like a son to him in the faith. And so Paul tells Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy. Now, Paul was in prison at this time. These were his last days on the earth. He wasn't going to come out this time. The next move and big move in Paul's life was to be in the presence of the Lord. He was going to be executed. And this is what he writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. And then he says, may the Lord repay him according to his works. In other words, may the Lord pay him back according to what he's done. And it's interesting because he doesn't say, you take care of him, Timothy. He doesn't say that. He doesn't. You know, he can't take matters into his own hands, and Paul wouldn't do that. But he says, the Lord deal with him. And he actually, it's kind of like him praying, in a sense. I put him in your hands, God, and you deal with him according to what he deserves. You punish him. And the prayers of the saints, they can be pretty powerful and pretty strong. And then he says to Timothy, he says, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. And he tells him, he warns him against this individual called Alexander. And there must have been a time when Paul was ministering and preaching, and Alexander, he wasn't like the hypocrite charlatan. He was the kind of guy that if he didn't like what he was hearing, he was going to get involved and try to put a stop to it, regardless of who gets hurt in the process. Just cruel. A hater of God and a hater of God's people. And this guy here, he resisted the sound teaching of God's word. And he would take it out. We don't know the specific details, but he would take it out on the servants of God. And Paul, he's warning Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, you watch out for this guy. He says, you be aware of him. In other words, you keep your guard. It's different than ignore. You know, when Jesus says ignore, that's like, yeah, just, you know, don't let them bother you. But this is more like you got to watch your back. And isn't there some people that you just can't ignore? You kind of got to keep four eyes on them. you got to put cameras out and you just got to watch your back. Now, I'm joking when I say four eyes, because obviously we only have two. And I'm joking when I say put cameras up. I'm not telling you go out and buy cameras. I'm just saying that you got to watch your back around some people. Thank God it's few. But there are the cruel, and we have to identify them, and you got to be on guard when you're around them. Watch yourself. Because some people just are out to do you harm. And sometimes you have no idea why. Other times it's a misunderstanding, and you come to find out this person is sick. I got to keep my eyes open, and I got to watch my back. So these are pretty tough folks to watch out for, but the charlatans, the fakes, the hypocrites, the cruel, the evil-hearted, those that, if given the opportunity, they will hurt you. And then you could say, you know, the charlatans, you find them in the church, you find hypocrites everywhere. The cruel, you find them a lot of times outside of the church. You know, it's a guy you're going to be facing tomorrow at work. Just go up to him and say, don't ever do that again. It might work for you. Work for me. Pray first, though. And then there are some that are in the church. I mean, these are not charlatans. And you got to watch out for them. And it might surprise you to hear that. But turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, I've been in church life. We are in 2021. So since I was 23 years old, I've been actively involved in one leadership role or another. So, I mean, we're going back to 1989, 90. Anyway, it's been a lot of years. And let me tell you, I've gotten the most hurt, if I'm honest with you, the most hurt that I've experienced, you know where it's been? In church. There's a lot of folks in church that are wonderful. A lot of beautiful saints, a lot of folks that I trust with my life. There's been such wonderful experience, but there has been a few in the journey. And some that I would never even imagine it would come from, who have been, wow. But I look at that and I say, to some degree, God used these folks to help me grow. I had no idea what I'd be doing in my future. And I think a lot of these different folks, especially when it comes to ministers and leaders that God is using, you know, it's a part of God's plan. To have a Judas in your life, to have a Peter in your life, someone that you love but, you know, denies you or, you know, does something in a moment of weakness that really hurts you and affects you, and yet you still got to do life with them. The Judas, they betray you, stab you in the back. I can't tell you the amount of knives that I have in my back. Are they still there? Well, I've healed from them. Not really. You just give those things to the Lord. But they last. They hurt. Especially, it's usually a Judas is not someone that was just a person that Jesus met last week. I mean, Jesus invested him for 3 years, and they were close. They did life together. It hurts when it's somebody that's close to you. And so you'll have these different folks, especially if you're in leadership. Or if you ever want to aspire to leadership, you got to learn quickly that there's certain folks that are in your life and God's not using them to destroy you, but to develop you. And it could be brutally painful. And then there are others that they're what I would call the chaotic. The chaotic. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "For we hear that there are some among you, or some who walk among you in a disorderly manner." And these folks, you can categorize them as chaotic. They're out of order. They're not walking in order to God's word or in harmony with God's word. Paul, he tells us this. In that case, there's three things specific to describe the way that they were chaotic or they were out of order. One, he says that these folks didn't want to work. They were able-bodied people, but they didn't want to work. They wanted to live off the system. They wanted to live off the church. And there's always people like that. They just prefer living off the system. Instead of working, if they can, they should work. If a person can work, they should work. You know, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, the man shouldn't eat. So don't feel bad if there's a lazy brother or sister and they just want to mooch off you and be on your couch for the next 50 years. You tell them, hey, sorry, there's no room in the inn. You're not Jesus. Anyway, so there are some folks in this case, they didn't want to work. They were lazy. They didn't mind taking advantage of people, asking people for money, asking people for handouts. Paul says that causes chaos in the church. People like that are disorderly. And then he says, not working at all, but are busybodies. People that just happen to work their way into everybody's business. You call them, they know something about everybody else. They just are gifted that way. I don't know how it is, but they're wired in a certain way that they just find themselves involved in everybody's business. Busybodies. He says, now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Here, Paul, he encourages the church at Thessalonica, and he says, hey, you guys that are like this, get yourselves in order. You're living a chaotic lifestyle, and it's negatively affecting your brothers and sisters in the church. So get yourself in order. And he says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone, and this is the third thing, does not obey our word in this epistle. This was obviously, they're out of order because they're not obeying the word of God. They don't obey the teachings that come from the ministers of God. He says, this is how you deal with these types of folks that are considered difficult people because they take advantage and they're out of order themselves and they could do what's right, but they choose not to. They choose to disobey. He says, note that person. Be aware of who they are and do not keep company with them. And he says the reason why you don't hang out with them is so that they would feel ashamed. They'd kind of feel shunned and feel like, you know, I need to get myself together because every time I come around, nobody wants to be around me. And nobody wants to be around people who can do what's right, but they just choose not to. For whatever reason, whether they're lazy or whether they take advantage, they like to take advantage, whatever the reasons are. People don't like that long term. And so he says, don't keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. But he says, yet do not count them as an enemy. Don't treat them like an enemy, but warn them, admonish them as a brother. So when given the opportunity, when you do see them, confront them, care enough to confront in a godly way, and ask them, hey, how are things going? Are you starting to get yourself in order? Or, you know, this was the same problem a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You haven't grown at any. I mean, come on, don't you feel that you have some responsibility? Don't you think you should change? Maybe the problem is you. Sometimes those kind of difficult conversations with people can be very, very helpful. And so these kinds of folks, they're difficult people, and the Bible tells us don't hang out with them, but when you get the opportunity, warn them as brothers or sisters in Christ. but don't do life with them. And then the last, and we'll wrap things up here before communion, or then we'll have communion, is the concerned. Is the concern. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." We just talked about that. But then he says this, "Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." And so there are those that I would say they're the concerned. And they're the concerned not because they're not doing what's right. These are folks that I would say they're trying to do what's right, but they're faint-hearted. They're little spirited. They get discouraged easy, but they really want to do what's right. I mean, at the core of who they are, they're trying. And they could be difficult, and it might be a temptation to write these kinds of brothers or people off or sisters off. But we got to fight that temptation, because the scripture tell us, you know, for those who are weak, maybe, or those that are, they lack courage, you know, they're believers, maybe they're young believers and they're growing and developing, but they're timid and they're still not rooted in their faith, or maybe they just are more anxious, but they really do love Christ. They really want to do what's right. He says, these folks, yeah, they can be difficult, but don't write them off. Comfort them. Comfort them. Listen to them. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be on the phone for an hour. It could be for a couple minutes and just say, you know, I hear what you're saying. I'll be praying for you. I'm sorry that you're going through this. Let's pray now. And cut the conversation short. But still, comfort, pray with them. Here, he says, uphold the weak. It's so easy to write off those that kind of feel like they're holding you back or weighing you down. But he says, uphold them, kind of like support them. Comfort them, support them, be patient with them. You know, not every difficult person is somebody that you either ignore or you watch your back, or you kind of keep a distance from. Some difficult people, we still have to be there to love them and to comfort them and to encourage them and be patient with them. Now, I'm going to wrap things up this way. Whenever I think about difficult people, and there have been some difficult people in my life, thank God they're not on, you know, both hands. There's a few. I have to stop and think, to God, I'm a difficult person. And I think all of us could say the same thing, right? I mean, we're not easy, are we? I wouldn't want to be my Savior. Jesus is so perfect at what he does. I would not be as patient with me as Jesus is. I wouldn't be as comforting with me as Jesus is. I wouldn't be as supportive of me as Jesus is. So when I think about difficult people, I have to think about, well, perhaps I'm a very difficult person to God. And he loves me, but yet, you know, I know I'm not easy. So if I'm not easy, I got to cut people slack. So it's important to know who to cut slack with and who to say, you know what, you need to start getting things right in your life. And I pray that God has given you the discernment for those of you who are dealing with difficult people through this message as to what your next steps are. I want to pray for you and pray with you, and then we're going to have you, not now, but in a minute, come up and receive the elements. We'll share a song during that time, and then we'll take the elements, we'll partake together. But let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters, and I pray, God, that you would especially encourage those that are going through it. There is a difficult person in their life. Something here was very specific. They know that you designed this message just for them because they're dealing with somebody that they might have to start ignoring. Or they might have to really start watching their back and not be so trusting anymore. Or they may have to not keep company with them anymore because they are just disorderly. They say they know you, they say they want to do things your way, but they don't, in their practice, they don't demonstrate that. And then there are others that we are tempted to just cut them out, and you're calling us to be patient with them, to cut them some slack, to show mercy, to comfort them, to support them. And Lord, some of these situations are very difficult. And so, God, we ask for your wisdom and your guidance and how to deal with them. I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would encourage and strengthen them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we, as difficult as we are, you are merciful to us. And you gave your life on the cross for our sins. And as we are soon to partake in these elements, I pray that you would remind us of your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.